Thank you for tuning in to Sermoncast, the audio channel for the preaching ministry of Christ Church. You can learn more about Christ Church by visiting ccnh.org.
Thank you for your prayers for me as I was out in New Mexico the last 2 weeks and trying to finish that book. Somebody asked me if it was done, and the answer is I have no clue. I sent it to my editor. You get so lost in the details, you need somebody else to tell you whether it's done or not. So I'll let you know when I know. But thanks for your prayers. I sense it's kind of a quiet day at the Christ Church in Amherst today. And Solomon says, and I'm preaching about Solomon next week, that there's a time for everything under heaven. And there's a time for this and a time for that, and there's a time for hibernation, there's a time to be quiet. I know that it's been a challenging time. I appreciate the prayer for Pastor Darren. Know that I'm praying for him, praying for you all. And if during a time like this, there's lots of questions about will we make it, how will we go forward, all these kind of things. How's it all going to work out? And I'd say just let it be. There's a time for everything under heaven, a time for hibernation. I want to read a bit from Genesis, chapters 1, 2, and 3. If you're trying to follow along, it's going to be a challenge, but I'll do my best to coach you. I'm going to start off in chapter 1, verse 26. God is making the world. He's made the land, the sea, the animals, the birds of the air, the stars in the heaven, the sun. And then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. Moving ahead to the last verse of chapter 2:25, and then moving into 3. "The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will surely die.' 'You will not surely die,' the serpent said to the woman. 'For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God. He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.' And God said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?' And the man said, 'The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit of the tree and I ate it.' And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent deceived me and I ate.'" And in verse 21, "The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, 'The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take from the tree of life and eat and live forever.' So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. And he drove the man out. He placed the east side of the Garden of Eden, cherubim and a flaming sword, flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life." Let's pray. Our God, we thank you for your word. We need to be made new. We need to be reminded of who it is that you are and who it is that we are and who you've made us to be. We just ask, God, that your Spirit would speak to each and every one of us now, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're wondering whether or not I'm going to launch into a discussion of male and female and Eve and why she ate of the thing and Adam blaming his wife, and no, we're not going to go there today. One of the things that I find rather curious is that if you ever just kind of sit down someplace and watch human beings, it's like they hit their heads against the wall, and they hit their heads against the wall, and they hit their heads against the wall, and they keep doing it. There's something, it's so easy to look at other people and see that they're about ready to walk down this path and go into this place, and there's nothing but trouble ahead, and they do it. But for some reason, we can't see ourselves very clearly. And then we're walking on that path, and we're doing it. And we live in this world in which people, if we just observe things, we can see that there's a whole bunch of things that don't work. And yet, human beings do it again and again and again. We're lost. And it's not just non-Christians. It's Christians. It's all of us. It shouldn't be, but it is. It's all of us. And what I want to do for the next few minutes is reflect on Genesis and reflect on this question of why it is it that we are so lost? Why is it that we continue to do the same thing over and over and over again? And what is it that we, all of us, including Christians, seem to have forgotten? In Genesis chapter 1, there's this very curious verse. It's a verse that drives, in one sense, the Jews and the Muslims crazy. God says, "Let us make man in our image." And then in chapter 3, it says, "The man and the woman have become like us." God is referred to in this plural sense. And we see that the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is put forward right there in the beginning. People often say that the world religions are basically all the same. They're all telling us to do the same thing. Not true. For in Islam, God is holy other. God is holy. God is unapproachable. Human beings need to be obedient. But there's not a sense that there's a relationship with God. Let us make man in our image. God is, in his very nature, relational. God is a relational God. And if we're made in the image of God, we are made for relationship. Humans tend to act as though we are, each of us, kind of individuals. And in a certain sense, we behave as if we're individuals. We behave as if we are the kings or queens of the earth. But the reality is we are made for relationship. There's this curious phrase that would be in no other world religion. In the New Testament, it said, God is love. In this world of ours, we think of love as things you're supposed to do. And I said I wasn't going to talk about men and women, but now I am. You know, when I think about loving my wife, I think about what should I do for her? And then she'll come back to me and she'll say, "It's not, I don't want you to do, I want you to be." Okay, and it's like, oh. God is love. If love isn't a command, and if it isn't something in one sense that it's due, it is a state of being. When we say that God is love, it makes no sense to think that it's a command, it's a relationship. God is in a love relationship with himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is love, and that's how we are designed to be. Adam and Eve live in the Garden of Eden. You get the impression that God's walking through the garden. Adam and Eve are there, and they can talk, they can commune, they can have this relationship. They're not aware of things. Love is not, in this condition of life, something where they have to stop and think, okay, what do I need to do? It is what they live. They are living in love with God and with each other. And then there's these two trees that the scripture talks about, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of life. God tells Adam and Eve, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for then you will surely die. The serpent points out, well, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then you will become like God. You will know good and evil. One of the things that Augustine, a 4th century theologian, pointed out is that being made in the image of God, there's all sorts of wonderful things that we share in terms of being like God. But there's one thing that human beings do not have the capability of. We don't have the ability to decide good and evil. Now you may say, well, that's a rather curious statement. People are deciding good and evil all the time. In fact, politics is this giant debate about what is good and what right and what is wrong, and we're deciding good and evil all the time. What did Augustine mean? He meant this. Human beings literally don't have the ability to decide good and evil. Why? How do we know what's right and what's wrong if God's not in the picture? There's a thought experiment we could do. Most people would say murder is wrong. And have you ever had a little kid, you know, ask you, why do the stars shine? Why are the stars in the sky? And you say, you give a reason, and the kid goes, why? And then you give another reason, and the kid goes, why? 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 And then finally you say, go away. Why is murder wrong? Well, murder's wrong because you shouldn't take another person's life. Why? Well, you shouldn't do that because it's against the law. Why? Well, you shouldn't kill because then the Ten Commandments says do not kill. Why? And what Augustine says is, if you're having this discussion with somebody about morality and you just ask the why question, at some point, the person that you're pressing on the why is going to say, either I don't know, or it's because I feel.
Why?
Bingo. And the reality is that if we think about it, we realize that we, human beings, don't have the ability to ultimately discern what's right and wrong. Now, kids go to college, and they are pressed with this thing that you can't figure out right and wrong, and then they decide, well, there must be no God, there must be no truth, blah, 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 blah. It's not the case. But without God, we are lost. Adam and Eve eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And now their eyes are opened, and now they're going to try to decide good and evil for themselves. And God desperately doesn't want them to eat of the tree of life, because if they eat of the tree of the life, they will live forever, which in this case would be the worst thing possible. We tend to think that death is a bad thing to be avoided, but the reality is, thank God for death. Because if Adam and Eve had gone over and eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and if the human race would then never die and live forever, we would live in hell forever. Because what happens after Adam and Eve leave the Garden of Eden? Immediately in chapter 4, we find that Cain kills Abel, brother kills brother. We find that as soon as human beings are in charge of this world, all hell breaks loose. And what would be hell other than living for eternity with people that are trying to decide right and wrong for themselves? But the reality is that each and every human being is an egotist. Each and every human being wants to be God unto themselves. Each and every human being wants the world to worship them. Each and every human being wants to call the shots, make the rules, set the morality. And my God, we already have a sense about what it's like to live with people like that. And live hell is living forever with people like that. People that will destroy themselves and never die. People that will destroy each other and never die. Thank God they didn't get to eat of the tree of life. And when God says, if you eat of this tree, you will surely die, thank God. So what's the solution to the human dilemma? The solution to the human dilemma is that our only hope, the only hope of anybody that walks the earth, the only hope is that we can re-enter relationship with God. Our only hope for life, our only hope for liberty, our only hope in this world is that somehow we can re-enter into relationship with God, because that's how we were made. We were made for relationship. We were made for love. We were made to interact, to be in relationship with God. So often people have the idea that Christianity is about rules and regulations. You need to do the right thing so you please God. But the truth of the matter is, Christianity is not about rules and regulations. Yes, you shouldn't do this and that because it's going to destroy things. It's helpful to have 10 commandments, etc. But the whole point of it is to re-enter into relationship with God. And what each of us needs to do, what each of us needs to do, and even if we're Christians and we've given our lives to God, how many hours did it take to take it back? I mean, we talk about how the fact we're Christians, we talk about the fact that God's in charge, but how many times a day, how many times an hour do we take this back, this control? Do we want to be in charge? Do we want to call the shots? Do we want to do this? Because if people will just listen to us, the world would be so much better. What each of us needs to do is quite literally, we need to get on our knees and take the apple and give it back to God. And say, God, you need to have control. I am going to take my cue from you. And how is it that we can understand again what is right and what is wrong, good and evil? We understand it when we've given the apple back to God, when we've re-entered into relationship with God, when the Holy Spirit is in our lives. The reality is that the why has an answer, and the answer is because God said it, because this is the truth. And we can understand this through the Holy Spirit and through this relationship. John Calvin said that human beings want to avoid bowing to God and giving him control, and we will stop at nothing to try to find another way. Human beings want to know the mind of God without loving God. And so human beings are always cutting these deals. God, if you'll just do this for me, I'll do this. If you'll do this for me, I'll do this. But God doesn't want anything other than a relationship with us, and he will never reveal his mind to us unless we're in a love relationship. Our only hope, what God desires above everything else, is to be in relationship with us. We were made for love. We were made for relationship. And when we give back the apple and we re-engage God in this relationship, when we allow God to be in control, when we allow God to call the shots, and we are servants of the great King that are obedient, then we will understand who we are, why we're here, and we will understand what it means to truly live. And brothers and sisters, it is the only way. The philosophers can pretty much prove we can't decide right and wrong for ourselves. We can't decide good and evil for ourselves. A cursory look at the world. People are destroying their lives left and right, day after day after day after day. It's pretty much established that the human race doesn't know what it's doing. I don't think that's terribly controversial. I wouldn't have any problem getting up in front of any audience and saying it. And any audience would probably agree. But because we die, there can be resurrection. Because we die, we can be made new. Thank God that Jesus came into this world to reestablish relationship with us. That God will look at us through the lens of Jesus Christ. And what is our role? God allows us to have dominion, to discover things, to learn things, to take care of the animals. He just allows us to do all those things. But what we are to do is be in relationship and let him speak to us. Let him tell us what is right and wrong. Let him direct our ways. What's the way forward for Christ Church? We all have ideas. But the only way forward is to find out what God has in mind. It's the only way forward for anything. So the question is, are we going to get on our knees and give back the apple? We're control freaks, all of us. It's hard. Christians often talk about, I gave my life to Christ. We don't talk about how often we take it back. It's a daily journey. Are we going to give back the apple? Let's pray. Our God, we thank you that you love us. And it's hard to understand. And we thank you that you want to relate, relationship with us. And when we look at our lives, we say, why would you want that? You are love. We are shame. God, help us, despite our pride and despite our shame, to give back the apple to you. Love us into submission, we pray. Lord, help us to re-enter relationship with you and let you rule in every aspect of our lives and the life of this congregation. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for tuning into Sermoncast. We hope you enjoyed this week's message. For more podcasts, you can visit ccnh.org and subscribe to our channel through the Sermoncast link or speaker icon. We'd also invite you to connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/Christ Church of Amherst. Until next time, God bless.